Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Kevin discussed the process as I took the position. That process is, you know, still going. We spoke, as I mentioned to you several times, you know, the group here, Kevin and I spoke regularly, daily, multiple times. So I was very comfortable with the process as he explained it when I took the position, and very comfortable with the process where it stands right now at the moment. We did discuss it right before we went into player interviews. So Sunday or Monday morning, can't remember, very short conversation. To attend to the business at hand of conversing with our guys and moving forward and closure of the season with them and getting them ready for the off season. So the focus was on that. We will revisit it. You guys are on with Kevin following me, so I'll let him follow up on that.
Hey, Don, two questions. One, did Kevin give you any kind of timetable as to when he wants to make that coaching decision? And then two, we heard from Jack Eichel on Monday, and he said there's been a disconnect between the organization and himself when it comes to his injury, and that things haven't been gone very smoothly since he got hurt. I was wondering if you can, shed some light as to what exactly that disconnect is and what is going on there from your perspective.
Well, I can't give you shed any light on it, Heather. Kevin will be on. I know you guys will have an opportunity to speak with him. That is, that is something he can cover with you and take questions on that. So that was, my response with Jack. And your other question was what, Heather?
Did Kevin give you any kind of timetable as to when he wants to make that coaching decision, just so you have an idea as to, what's going on and things like that?
Yeah, no, he did not. We did not speak of a timetable. I didn't ask him a timetable. I just personally wanted to get through these couple of days and stay focused on that. To me, it was irrelevant until we get through this. And then it becomes more relevant, but the task at hand was what we just did. And obviously moving through today. So we'll have that conversation. I'll ask those questions now that it's more appropriate.
From the moment you took over to the end of the season, in what ways do you feel like you were able to show what you could bring to this organization for a full season as the permanent head coach?
Well, there's definite signs of progress. I felt, I think that was obvious. And I say obvious because, we're in an industry where everybody knows each other. There's 3, 4, 5 coaches in this division I've coached against historically, as we grew up as coaches through the American League or ECHL, players that you've coached through the league. You hear, players in our locker room played with other players. So we know that, we gradually earned more respect through our opponents, whether that be, from their coaching staff or the players we played against. We saw better results and, data, obviously, but, and you saw, I'm sure in exit interviews, especially with the younger guys, they have a vision and an energy and a passion, to move forward. And, you know, they're excited, but that excitement, I think, is don't, you know, it's, there's not to be confused with satisfaction. They are not satisfied. Nobody here is satisfied. But you see and feel the confidence and belief system has changed. Our ability to make adjustments from game to game in between periods, you know, those are real key components to, you know, future success, future growth. And so at the outset, I mentioned many times the focus was not just to try to win hockey games. I hate being a desperate team. I, you know, everybody can look and say, my God, you're in a desperate situation. Well, that's fine if that's your perception, but we're not going to be a desperate team. We're going to, you know, get better every day. And the better we can progress, the more those wins are going to come, or signs of those wins coming. And I think our guys have felt that, and they know they're building something. And that's, that was great to be a part of. And obviously something I would like to be a part of moving forward.
And when we spoke to Sam on Monday, he didn't seem very happy. And even in interviews toward the end of the year, he didn't seem very happy. But obviously, he had a very good stretch, maybe the best stretch of his career at the end of the season. Just what kind of attitude did you see from him every day and so forth over the final weeks?
Yeah, I watched some of the interviews, you know, what I could, you know, and just spent a little time just zipping through them. And, you know, nothing in the interviews concerned me one bit. I mean, if I think of, you know, a few of the older players, obviously knowing them very well, and it's hard for players and veteran players to go up to the, you know, there's a monotony to going to the microphone and the podium. You're getting questions that, you know, ahead of time they're coming, and they're questions you really can't answer. There's questions about your teammates, about your future, about the past, about, you know, so it's not a fun situation for players to go up in front of that microphone when you look at some of the questions that are, you know, again, being answered. But I can tell you, all of those players behind the scenes are exceptional to work with. I mean, obviously you saw Sammy. He, you know, unlike when you walk up to a microphone and it's all analytics or analytical thinking and processing, when you put your uniform on, when you come to work each day, it's predator mode. It's exciting. You get to physically do things. You can physically go out and try to remedy a situation. When you take your gear off, you got to wait months. And, you know, in this situation, and there's so many things out of your control. But when the puck drops, those guys feel very in control. I can tell you that. And they're very, very excited. You know, Sammy, we're talking about Sammy now, and that's what you saw. You know, he's one of those players that's constantly looking over his shoulder. Like, am I going out next? Can I go out next? And, I love that energy about him. He brought that every day. He brought it in practice. And so very different when you see him in that situation versus what we deal with behind the scenes and you guys see on the ice.
Hey, Don, Adam Bonini. I want to follow up on what you just said there. You had said there's nothing really that concerned you in any of the end of season player interviews that were out there. With all due respect, there was nothing monotonous about Jack Eichel, right? I mean, that's bombshell type stuff that came down there. And I understand the situation you're in. I get it. But it doesn't concern you that the franchise player is non-committal on the future based on, to use the word, disconnect between he and the franchise. That's his word. How is that not concerning to you as the guy who wants to take over as head coach of this team?
Adam, it's very simple. These guys love to play the game of hockey. When they walk in this locker room, I can assure you they are dramatically different than anything you see elsewhere. They feel they are in control of, give me the puck. I want to skip. They're doing what they love to do. So dramatically different, dramatically different. I, as a coach, I can tell you, as a coach, I'm speaking, I have no concern. I've had hundreds and hundreds of players at the professional level. I've been through way more challenging and perceived difficult situations. These guys want to play hockey. And this is a guy that couldn't play hockey. And when he can put the skates on again, that life and energy will be right there. There's no doubt in my mind about it. Like I said, Adam, I've seen it. I've seen it so many times that I have complete confidence in that. And I know Jack, he wants to play hockey. Bottom line, he wants to play hockey. And he loves playing hockey. So I don't have a concern. when he can put his skates on, he's going to immerse in that moment and be in that moment.
Hey, Don, John Warrow. I'm trying to get into what you just answered, and just the fact that this team on the outside, you know more because we couldn't be there inside during this whole bubble thing. But there is just a sense that this team is in crisis, given the fact that three key leaders have vocally expressed their frustrations. Where does this team go from here and from this point? And is what was said on Monday irreparable in your opinion? Based on what Jack and even Ristolainen said by saying he's open to anything.
We're in an industry where there's always emotions. Nothing to me is irreparable. I don't take that approach. I don't feel that nothing is a, you know, it's not a threatening situation. Lots of times, if you look historically through sports, this could be a turning point when you bring things to head. I mean, there literally are coaches and organizations that attempt to bring things to head. So I know I've been involved in this game and with athletes way too long. It's no different than as a coach, if you skip over somebody in a shift, it is the end of the world for that player to be skipped over in a shift. It's a dramatic occurrence, an event. And those are things that happen regularly. So that's why I say, you know, is this, I think you asked if this was irreparable. No, doesn't even enter my mind. I don't think it would anybody else's.
Good morning, Don. Ted Goldberg from Spectrum News here. Just kind of looking at sort of your tenure when you were named the interim coach. Obviously, you were not afraid to make some changes. You know, we saw Casey Mittelstadt at center. We saw Sam Reinhart at center. We saw, you know, guys getting some playing time. And even when they made mistakes, you sort of kept them in the game. Is that sort of that open-mindedness, is that part of your style that you try to, you know, try to kind of show with the team? Or was that just sort of how circumstances played out this year, where you took over and you could kind of do whatever you wanted because, you know, the playoffs were kind of out of reach once you took over? And it's like, well, what's the worst that could happen, right?
Yeah, I mean, the worst that can happen is you keep losing, and nobody wants to do that. So, you know, it could have got worse. There's no question. So you gauge, and you don't want it to get worse for your players. You're trying to build confidence and belief and those sorts of things. So there's a balance to everything you do. Clearly, we were in a different situation knowing we weren't in the playoffs. There was an opportunity to give them more situation time. Certainly, if you look at the trades we had to make, there were roster spots available that weren't there at the start of the year. There were injuries that opened up roster spots. But there were games I bumped. I can think of as I speak here, I bumped Tage down a couple lines and had conversations with him. Listen, you're going to have to wait for your next opportunity. This is just the way it works. And he was ready for his next opportunity, which wasn't until a couple games later. So, you know, I wasn't overlooking the lessons and the experience that needed to be gained and could be gained. You know, I would play Dylan with against Sidney Crosby one game, and he wouldn't get that ice time the next game or that responsibility. The next, he was upset. He was not happy with it, but it was, then things would be explained to these guys. So behind the scenes, we were challenging these guys very, very much, which is a big part of it because we need them to be better. And again, I coached as if I would be here next season. Obviously I wouldn't want to be standing behind a bench in October and not have taken advantage of this opportunity to get these players valuable experience playing against top teams, experiencing not only that, but the potential of failure and then addressing it with them and challenging them to become better because of it. So yes, I used, as you would, and you should every day as a coach, what is immediately at your disposal to move your team in that type of a direction individually and collectively. So This year was probably different opportunities to do that.
Hi, Don. I want to actually go down that road a little more was what I was planning. I don't think, to be honest with you, anyone in this call or probably anybody in the continent of North America right now thinks all three of those veteran players are going to be back next year. So given that, how prepared are you, not just to give the young guys experience like you did, but how prepared are you, do you think, if you get this job, to run this team through Dahlin, Cousins, Mittelstadt, and have those guys, in fact, be your core and be your front-facing guys if you don't have Eichel and Reinhardt and Ristolainen?
Well, I'm certainly prepared for anything, Mike. I mean, you know how dynamic the professional level is, how dynamic coaching is. I mean, we were down to our sixth goalie this year. You just have to be ready. You have to adjust. I use the term find a way to win. It doesn't have to be pretty. The analytics can be completely against you, but within each game, there's a way to win. And we really pushed our guys to find ways to win. And they felt through that process more control. They felt when they lost, it was not that they were overwhelmed by the opponent. It was that they made the mistakes that were within their control. So I do believe in the young core moving up. I believe in the guys that you mentioned, three guys that could not return. That's not for me to make any decision on. But I will be ready either way. And I know those players that we speak of that couldn't be here or not be here, they're going to be ready. They're professionals. They're outstanding people, and they're professionals. So there's no reason not to be confident and to be excited about the future of what is going on here. And I am, and I know our players are, regardless of what may happen and transpire over the next few months. I think it'll be great. Whatever happens is going to be great. There's no doubt in my mind.
Hey, Don, I realize this is a hypothetical, but is it head coach or nothing? Say Kevin goes in a different direction. Could you ever see yourself returning as an assistant coach to this team, or is having been the head coach kind of too much for that now?
Yeah. You know, John, I've always, you know, I think as a head coach, I know I've always done that. You know, I took a head coaching job in my early 20s just because, you know, I knew that was my passion, being a head coach. And it is, it's a different position than an assistant coach, dramatically different. But to answer your question, that's, I guess, not something I could answer until I see how things proceed. You know, it'll be a feel, you know, but I'm most comfortable in the position as a head coach. I can assure you that, because I've done it, for years and years and had success doing it. So, but yeah, I don't have an answer for that in the moment.
Hi, Don. Good morning.
Good morning.
Between March 17th and today, do you, from a management standpoint and a standpoint from yourself, do you have a stronger confidence that you've earned this job and can do it well?
I don't feel and look at it that way, Julian. I mean, in this business, you earn it and have to re-earn it every day. You know, so, you know, Kevin and the organization needs to go through a process and make a decision. I'm going to have talks with them and share in, you know, more extensive my philosophy and approach. Obviously, I coached to the situation this season, and tried to maximize what we could maximize, work with what we had to work with. You know, you saw some of my coaching, but you know, we haven't seen it all. So, you know, we'll lay that out. But as far as, you know, me expecting something back for what I did. No, I mean, I did what I did and, tried to do what I, you know, what we could do and make the best of the situation we had with what we had. That's what you do as a head coach. But for somebody to owe me something for doing that, no, I don't process that way. It's too competitive. You won't be ready for your next one, Julianne, if you start thinking that way.
Don, when we look at this season, obviously, you had to coach with what you had. A lot of what you had was limited by injuries. And ultimately, the team did finish 31st, a lot of because of what happened prior to March 18th. What do you look at this club now? I mean, is the biggest – if it becomes your club and you sit down with Kevin and you say to Kevin, I want this or we need this. Is it starting goal, or is the goaltending the biggest issue that needs to be quote unquote fixed here? What would you pinpoint?
Yeah, well, clearly when you're using, again, was it our sixth goalie? We used six goalies. I see guys nodding. So yeah. And they all did great. I mean, the guys competed. They gave us everything they could give us. And that's all you can ask for as a coach. So I'm very happy that with the players and what they gave us. But yes, you need a number one goalie. You're in the NHL. And I don't think anybody's going to deny that as a key, key ingredient, key component to success. Kevin is a, when it comes to hockey, and he's had a long playing career. I love talking hockey with him. He won a cup. He's been on teams that have not been so successful. So, we'll continue to have conversations. I have complete confidence that we'll be able to build and continue to build the roster in the direction of positive. A big part of the business we're in is not succumbing to all the pressure and challenges and take steps backward. That's a big, big part of coaching and a big part of, being involved in an organization. I'm confident we won't. We will keep moving forward. And I'm confident you guys have sensed that just in some of the group that will move us forward. They're a talented base group of young guys. They're excited and they get it. They have a feel for it. They're investing big time. And for us, we need players and people to invest and compete and, continue to push and pull and move this thing forward. And I think we have that.
Linus made it clear to us how difficult this season was just on a daily basis, how awful days could be. Part of it, obviously he had loss, but part of it was isolation. A lot of guys dealt with the isolation. How much of what that was there behind the scenes to deal with?
Probably more than I felt, John. The players, as they felt more comfortable with us as a staff and could figure out more of, okay, what's the professional side and the personal side. A lot of times as a coach, you don't mix the two, so you don't get, much of how they feel. They're afraid to tell you how they feel sometimes. It might be held against them, but, they shared a lot. I think today's player even shares a lot more than maybe 10, 15 years ago. They need that. And it was hard from what they explained and spoke of. I know it was challenging for all of us, everybody on this call, just in life. But in Linus, his case, to be away from family, to have the tragedy that he went through losing his father, thousands of miles away from home. I don't know that I certainly can't relate to that. And for him to be able to jump in the net and play the way he did was exceptional, impressive. So I think everybody is looking forward player-wise to return to some normalcy. The league, I think throughout the league, teams really felt that way too. I heard it more and more as the season progressed, John, how hard it was on players.
Don, watching Dylan Cousins on the ice, it seemed like for the most part, he had an excellent rookie season. And even talking to him, and I'm speaking from my own standpoint here, I'm not speaking for anybody else, he seems like a very good young leader, somebody that maybe is advanced in his age in a leadership type of a role. At the end of the year, with everything he went through, do you think he hit of a bit of a rookie wall maybe in his last 10 games or so compared to maybe he had done before? And how did he handle that? As I said, because he seems like a very level-headed kid and a good leader.
Yeah, we talked to a couple players about, how they react to maybe adverse situations. Talked specifically about breaking a stick and, our dislike of that as a coaching staff. And Dylan did go through a challenge with what you're saying, the feeling of hitting a wall. He couldn't do maybe what he could do three games before because of, fatigue or whatnot, or aches and pains. He had some aches and pains during the end of the season. Like you guys know, players play with some issues. He was one of them. And that is a growth opportunity, a learning experience, because if you want to play 82 games, you're not going to feel great all the time. You know, and I thought he is one player that, you know, if he wasn't feeling great with his hands or his feet, which are two assets and strengths of his, he's going to find a way to contribute some way else. And, you know, for him, we all saw him elevate his compete, you know, drop the gloves a couple of times, but he's one player that has such a competitive fire that if he can't help us in one way or help his line mate or teammate in one way, he's going to find another way. And that goes very well with what you mentioned about leadership. He does have a lot of leadership qualities. I don't even want to say potential, they're qualities. I mean, he has leadership components immediately that affect his team and teammates in a very positive manner.
Hey, Don, just to get back to something I had asked you earlier, and I think I could piece together some of your answers here and probably arrive at this on my own, but I want to ask you directly, and I know the timing, you know, Jack's injury happened when Ralph was still the head coach, and then the transition took place with you stepping into the interim role. But to be just direct about it, did you have any discussion or input in the team's decision to enforce the contract and not allow him to have surgery?
Adam, I was 100% focused with the players that could go in the lineup immediately. So, and I was with that with Linus when he was injured. Or so every injury that happened, Will Borgen and whatever, it's a handoff from me to our medical team. And I completely stay focused with who can be in the lineup that next game, who's going to be on the ice and practice that next day. There's just too much. It's that in itself was 28 players. So you're constantly walking the hallways, you know, talking to these guys about the next game, last game, maybe why they didn't play their last shift, why they were moved to right wing, left wing, why their D partner switched. So as a coach, you just can't, you can't go to that. There's no time for you to go to that. That was the case with Jack and with every other player that was injured, even if it was for a couple of days, I was out of it for those couple of days.
Toward the end of the year, we heard so much about that energy the young guys brought to the team, brought to the room, brought every night. When, as a coach, when you think about culture and the type of environment you want to have in the dressing room, is that the sort of energy that you want to have? And how do you carry that into next season if you do receive this opportunity?
Yeah, that energy will be easy to carry into next season. The belief is strong, but there's clarity. There's substance behind the confidence. There's hindsight behind the confidence. You know, when a player comes up from the junior level or from college into the NHL, he's confident. He scored 30, 40 goals, 50. But that confidence is all about the previous level where he scored the 40 goals. And, approach to giving these guys key ice time and pushing them was so they took a hit, you know, against Darlene, had to play against top players. He got scored on, but that he could learn from it and gain some confidence with substance and how to correct that, how to play that situation against top players. So they'll come back with that experience. So that's, to me, that's real. They have to have an understanding that, you have to invest in battle and scratch every day. And I think that was a theme and a message we presented to them every day. Like I said, we challenged them behind the scenes hard in that area, and they did. And when guys didn't, they moved down the lineup, or, you know, they were out of the lineup, and they know they will be if that's the case. So I think they're in a good frame for that. The energy that youth can bring is something any organization needs and every organization needs. That fearlessness. We, in the midst of that streak, when I took over, there was a lot of fear, a lot of doubt, and we had to switch that mindset. And we were able to, and you need to go into games fearless. I mean, mistakes are made by the best teams in the league. The best teams in the league can overcome them. And if we don't get better, we can't overcome our mistakes. So we can't be afraid of our mistakes. We have to build to a point where we can overcome them, because that's all the best teams do. And at the end of a game, the losing team gets nailed for all their mistakes. You didn't do this, you didn't do that. But the other team had just as many in most cases. They just overcame them. So that's why my emphasis on scoring and, you know, is you have to be able to overcome your mistakes. And in the process, obviously, we're learning to limit them too, which is great.